This morning comes from 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. Listen now for God's holy word. Paul, writing to Timothy, says, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in later times some will renounce faith by paying attention to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons, through the hypocrisy of liars whose consciences are seared with a hot iron. They forbid marriage and demand abstinence from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected, provided it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by God's word and prayer. If you put these instructions before the brothers and sisters, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, nourished on the word of faith and the sound teaching that you have followed." My friends, the leaves have fallen and the snows will come and go, but the word of our Lord remains and abides forever. Thanks be to God, and let all God's people say, amen. Amen. In our scripture passage for today, Paul gives advice regarding misguided teachings in the church in Ephesus. The people of that congregation were being taught by some that a certain kind of restrictive lifestyle was necessary for Christians. It is apparent that food laws, what people could and could not eat, were in part the focus of that misguided brand of teaching. In the passage, Paul's conclusion is to say that all foods, demonstrated here by Jean's lovely displays, all foods are part of God's good creation and can be received by Christians when received with thanksgiving. It's a beautiful sentiment that reminds us that our food comes from God's creation. This earth which God created and which God sustains, and the earth to which God gives fruitfulness, which in turn supports our lives. Today I brought in an object lesson. This, organic protein, 50 superfoods protein powder. This, my friends, is food. Does it look like food? No? This is food. This is a bottle of protein powder. Protein powder like this has been a staple of my diet for just about a year. For the past year, I've been eating this stuff every day. It's protein from plants, extracted somehow by the miracles of science and powderized and packaged. Compared to something like a carrot, unearthed from a garden, washed of its soil, it's not always easy to recognize that a jug of protein powder is in fact part of God's good gifts to us from creation, which can and should be received with thanksgiving. This week, I've been wrestling with these concepts from this passage from 1 Timothy. I've been wrestling with the ideas about our choices for food, and the reality that this world is a good creation of God, and I've been wrestling with our expressions and our celebrations of thanksgiving. It's my estimation that we do think about God's relationship to our food and our eating in two seemingly opposite times of our lives. We think about the connections between God and our food around times of fasting and times of feasting. Fasting draws together God and our food. Now, personally, I have never seriously practiced fasting, though I think I will soon remedy that in this coming year. Though it's not my Christian practice, I understand that through fasting, we can use our body's desire for food to train our hearts to seek God and to become nourished on the spiritual blessings that God provides. While fasting, Christians replace their daily meals of food, those daily experiences of gathering together calories, and people can intentionally replace those times of eating with times of reflection and prayer. Rather than striving for food, those who are fasting strive after God. Daily, our stomachs tell us that we need food. And while fasting, you can use that internal alarm clock to remind yourself that the true life that we really want to be living depends not just on the fruits and the bread of this earth, but our true lives depend on the fruits of the Spirit and the bread of heaven. So fasting draws together our experiences of food and our belief and our desire to connect with God. We also think about God in relationship to food this week at Thanksgiving time when we feast. So much about this coming week points us towards our relationship with God. The national holiday interrupts our weekly schedule, which gives us times and reasons to pause and to reflect. Our families and friends are able to gather together, and those special times fill our hearts with joy and gladness and gratitude, and we're reminded of God's goodness. At Thanksgiving time, we recall the story and the plight of the pilgrims at Plymouth Rock, a band of religious refugees who were seeking a place where they could live before God and who suffered greatly on that quest. We think of the meal that they ate during their first harvest season together with the local native Wampanoag who had helped them along the way. As they express their thanksgiving, their gratitude to God, despite the trials and the tragedies and the deep sorrows which they had encountered. Through recalling this almost mythical story of that first Thanksgiving, we annually reflect on our own reasons for Thanksgiving and our own reasons to feel grateful to God who has provided for us. When we fast, our stomachs ache, and that aching reminds us that the deeper aching within us is an aching for a closer relationship with God. And when we feast at Thanksgiving, our practice of preparing and eating a special meal with beloved friends and family, that feast helps us to reflect on God's provision in our lives. This week, as I studied and prayerfully reflected on our passage, I felt God's call to realize anew that every day, not just during times of special holidays or religious observances, but every day, our practices around food and eating can help us to remain connected to God. In Paul's day, the people of the church in Ephesus were thinking carefully about their food. They wanted to honor God, and one way that they sought to honor God was through their eating. It is clear from 1 Timothy that some in the church in Ephesus had misled conclusions. But God can speak to us through their intentions. It's inspiring to think that every day, every meal, every decision that they made around food and eating was made in connection with their relationship to God and their sense of God's calling on their lives. Like the church in Ephesus, I believe that we should think critically and carefully about our food, not just in rare times of fasting and not just annually at Thanksgiving, but it can be through the simple daily practices that our food can help to keep us connected to the source, not just of our metabolistic life, but our food practices can help us keep connected to the source of our spiritual lives as well. As people of faith, I believe that we should put some thought into what we are eating and what God would want us to eat for our health. Some foods and drinks are simply not good for us. And God, we know and believe, wants us to be healthy and well. The Gospels remind us that Jesus came as the great physician, the great healer of humanity. God was not and is not indifferent to people who are sick and unwell. God sent Jesus with signs and miracles that demonstrate that God is on the side of restoration and health and human bodily wholeness. God is a God who created us not to be miserable, but God created us and wants us to be vibrant and to have life in abundance. For that reason, when we approach our food, when we consider what we will and will not eat, when we make decisions to eat and drink in ways that are healthy for our bodies and healthy for our minds, we are choosing to honor the God who made us, the Savior who has healed us, and the Spirit who now resides within us. When we eat in ways that are responsible and healthy, we participate in God's work of sustaining the good and abundant lives which God has given us and which God desires for us. Choosing a healthy diet is therefore a choice made with God in mind. Every healthy and responsible meal is made knowing that God is with us, that God has a desire for our health, and that God is glad and glorified when we make good decisions for our bodies. Our choices around food and diet also play a role in our calling to be good stewards of this good creation. According to the book of Genesis, God made this world and placed us here to be agents of care and oversight for creation. Adam and Eve lived in the Garden of Eden and they ate of its bounty, but they also had roles to play to tend the garden and to care for the creatures of this world. Christianity has always taught that we too have a calling to be good stewards of this creation. In our times, we have certain methods of food production that do lamentable and irreparable damage to this good and beloved creation. Some methods of food production are sources of unchecked pollution. Some methods of food production are causing deforestation and destruction of habitats, which in turn is causing the extinction of beautiful, unique, and marvelous creatures, which according to our faith were fashioned by God's creative will and given to this world to enhance its diversity, its wonder, and its beauty. Examples of these kinds of food production that I have in mind include giant industrial livestock farms here in the US, which supply us with cheap meat and poultry, and deforestation in places like Brazil and Indonesia that destroyed diverse rainforest ecosystems, replacing them with monocultures of plantation crops like banana trees for our bananas and palm trees for the palm oil that is very common in processed foods. These practices are lamentable, and they stand in opposition to our calling to be good stewards of God's creation. As Christians, as those who believe that God created us and that God created and loves this world, we can engage our calling to be good stewards of creation by being careful consumers. Information exists that can help us understand where our food comes from and whether or not its production has caused undue damage to God's world. When we are mindful of the impact of our choices, each meal, each ingredient, each grocery store item that we place in our shopping carts, each spoonful that we place in our mouths, can be chosen with our calling in mind to be God's servants and God's stewards of this world. In this way, we can see ourselves in the grocery store, at the stove, at the breakfast table. We can see ourselves at almost every moment of our day as God's agents of care. In our passage, Paul talks about eating any food as long as you eat it with thanksgiving. However, I'm confident that if Paul were here today and he understood how damaging some of our food and our in our grocery stores and on our shelves can be to our health and to the health of our planet, I'm confident that Paul would agree that we have a calling from God to eat in ways that are healthy and holistic for ourselves and for this creation. Once a week, my daughters Margot and Winnie have ice cream. Yes. Of course, they ask for ice cream a whole lot more than just once a week. But Jamie and I explain that ice cream isn't very healthy for their bodies, and so having ice cream once a week is the healthy choice. When they do eat ice cream, often on Wednesday nights, we quite often also call their grandparents on FaceTime. It's because they're sitting still for long enough to actually have a meaningful conversation. So Margo and Winnie eat their ice cream and they chat with their grandparents. It's cute. And this week, Winnie and Margo were talking with Jamie's mom, Grandma Mary, and we were telling Grandma Mary that because it's Thanksgiving this week, that we're planning to visit my family up in Sussex, where we'll also have a chance to visit the family dairy farm. When I mentioned that we were gonna visit the farm, Winnie, who was holding a dairy-based ice cream cone in her hand, burst out her disapproval of the idea of visiting the cows on the farm. She yelled out to her Grandma Mary, telling her, "I do not like going to the farm. Those cows are too stinky." Grandma Mary chuckled, but then she asked Winnie a wise and a probing question. Grandma Mary asked Winnie, "Where do you think your ice cream comes from?" Winnie, with a puzzled look on her face, responded, "My ice cream comes from the grocery store, Grandma." "No," Grandma Mary corrected, "your ice cream comes from those stinky cows." it wasn't for those stinky cows and for the farmers, then we wouldn't have any ice cream to eat. This cute interaction was a great example of what God has been putting on my heart this week as I've studied our scripture passage. For us, it can become so easy for us to become desensitized to the realities of the foods that we eat. The food that we eat every day can become something that we simply take for granted. It is there, it is here. It comes from the grocery store, it sits in our cupboards, it rests in our refrigerators, and we don't think twice about it. But for centuries, for most of Christian history, food has been a source, a vehicle for blessed spiritual reflection. This week, God calls us to recapture something of that marvelous focus. I believe that we can and we should at every meal, with every spoonful, with every trip to the farm or the grocery store, with every decision that we make around our food, we can connect to the God of our healing, the God of our provision, the God of our creation, and the God who has called us to be good stewards of this world. Let us remember that with our food, we can help to establish and care for the health of our own bodies. And let us remember that with our food, we can help to live into our calling to be good stewards of this world. And as we do so, may we marvel at the beauty and the wonder and the diversity of God's creation and the blessed food that God produces for our enjoyment and our sustenance. And let our hearts overflow with thanksgiving. Amen.